From Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 18. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Amen. Throughout this Christmas series, the Advent series, we've been watching scenes from The Chosen. It's a television series, and we've been watching scenes from the episode called Holy Night. And the one we're about to watch is a variation of a scene we've watched already. And to set the stage a bit, the angel's visits has come and gone, and we're back at that moment when the shepherds are rushing to Bethlehem to see the child who was born on that holy night. And they're rushing throughout Bethlehem, and pay attention to what they are doing as they go.
"And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore."
One minute the shepherds are rushing to Bethlehem, and then they're rushing off in different directions into different parts of the town of Bethlehem. And what are they doing? What are they doing? They're declaring the good news that the Messiah has been born. They're telling all the townspeople who haven't had the chance to hear the good news that the Savior has come. In many ways, these shepherds are the first evangelists in the Bible. Long before there were the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples, there was a small circle of lowly shepherds who told people about Jesus. In the coming of Jesus as Messiah, there was now a great reason for turning toward hope, joy, peace, and love. So the shepherds began to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. He, Jesus, came. They went. The shepherds had been prepared for this task by the angel of the Lord that had appeared to them. The angel said, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people, every single person in the world." And the message is, a Savior has come. A Savior to provide abundant life, to provide forgiveness of every single sin, every single wrongdoing is forgiven in Jesus Christ. We don't know how educated these shepherds were, but they would have known about the prophecy of the Messiah, how he would rescue all people. So they began to share the good news. Why shepherds, though? Why shepherds? Well, the shepherd's imagery is enormous in the Bible and the scriptures. Jesus himself is referred to as the good shepherd. Perhaps it's the very nature of a shepherd, their personality, their posture, and skill to care for others, to protect others, to provide care. That was in their nature. That's what shepherds did. Jesus came, so of course they went to tell the people, to tell them about everything. This was what it meant for them to love others. People must know. People must know the good news of Jesus Christ. And that is what the coming of Jesus must also spur us to do, who have found salvation in Jesus. To go and tell others about the good news of Jesus. We see this principle at work throughout the scriptures. Jesus sends his disciples to spread the news about Jesus. And then in Acts, we see the church formed and many Christians who go to the ends of the earth to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the religious leaders, the Pharisees, thought they could solve this problem of Jesus by silencing his voice, by killing him, putting him to death to halt the movement. But after Jesus had died and been resurrected and ascended to heaven, now his disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit that Jesus talked about and said that he must go away so this Holy Spirit can be sent. And they went out preaching the message of the kingdom of heaven. And now the religious leaders, the Pharisees, had not only one man to silence, but many of Jesus' disciples spreading the good news, performing signs and miracles. And anything they tried to do to stop them only spread it more. We know the disciples put their lives on the line for Christ. But they not only put their life on the line for Christ, but also for the people of the world. Why? Why would you risk imprisonment? Why would you risk being tortured? Why would you risk being beaten and put to death for others? Because of the love of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 13 to 15 says, "If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and who was raised again." Some did say that Jesus' followers were out of their minds, that they were crazy. But Apostle Paul writes, it is for God that they seem out of their mind. And he says, but if we are in the right mindset, it is for you, for the people of the world, for their neighbors, and it is because of Christ's love. Are you in the right mindset for your neighbor? Are you compelled by Christ's love for the salvation of your neighbor? He came, the shepherds went. He came, the 12 disciples went. He came, and the early church went. This is the going pattern in the New Testament. So are we going as well? There's wonderful missional work happening throughout the world, as we just heard in India, in far corners. I just watched a video this week of an Arabian Arabic pastor in Nazareth, and he's got a church called their Christ is King Church. It's a predominantly Muslim area, and this conflict that is happening in the Middle East, there are people now asking, how can Muslims and Jewish people live at peace. And he said they have a wonderful message to these people that in Jesus Christ, it is possible that people can live in peace. That there can be love for one another. And it is by Jesus Christ. And they're saying the church is growing there. People are coming to Jesus Christ. People are seeking for the Prince of Peace. And they are finding him. Amidst this turmoil and destruction and violence that we're hearing about, people are finding Christ and experiencing a life-changing, transforming, loving peace in Jesus. So are we going as well? Wonderful missional work is happening, but what there is decline in is in personal evangelism, particularly in the Western world. We are also called to go. He came. We go to the one nearest to us. He came. We go to the ones at the ends of the earth. Both are needed. And in so doing, we are fulfilling the law of love. Jesus tells us the two greatest commandments are found in Matthew 22, 37 and 38. Jesus replied, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Christ's love is to compel us to go to our neighbors, the one nearest to you, and tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ. And we can't lose that love. I remember when God called me back, when I recommitted my life, when I really found Jesus, I was so full of his love and joy that I was just telling everybody. But that love can fade. But there's something when we first come to Christ and just are overwhelmed with the love that he has, the mercy, the forgiveness, the gentleness, the peace, that we just want to share that with everyone around us. The hope. You know, I tried for years to find peace and joy and purpose and love in the world. Relationships. But those relationships led to heartbreak and pain. I tried to find joy in partying and going to raves and finding things in the world that would fulfill that hole I felt I had in my heart. Nothing. They satisfied for a while, but they didn't fulfill. They didn't satisfy. There wasn't a lasting satisfaction there. I had no purpose. Sure, I had a good job and was making good money and I lacked nothing. I had a sports car and big screen TV. I lived on my own and things were good, but they didn't bring joy. They didn't bring purpose. And it was at a party where God found me and spoke to my heart. And he told me, there was a voice in my head that said, Yarno, if you continue down this path, it will lead to destruction of your life. And God was merciful in that moment. By his grace, he pulled me out of the fire. And I went home and confessed my sins. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry for breaking your law. And the peace I experienced as he filled me with his love and forgiveness, there's nothing like it. I've described many times to kids at kids camp, it's like you're seeing life in black and white. And then God comes into your life and you see in color. It's amazing. So if there's anybody here who has not experienced the forgiveness, the mercy of Jesus Christ, and you feel God speak in your heart right now, do not ignore it. There is a great love for you and a great purpose for you in this world and a peace that you can know in Jesus Christ. And all you got to say is, Lord, forgive me. I make you my Savior. I make you my King. I make you my God. And confess in faith that you will follow him. And he will transform your life. He will bring such joy. You know, people have a misconception that when I start to follow Jesus, it's going to be boring. I got to follow all these rules, and that's what the Christianity is, following rules. It's not that, man, not at all. God created you. He knows you better than you know yourself. And those desires that you have in your heart, He will fulfill them in a greater way than you even know how. And that's what He's done in my life. And He can do it in yours as well. And when you're found that love and appreciation, being obedient to His commandments is joyful, because He transforms our hearts. He makes us new from the inside out. And there is such joy and purpose to life in the everlasting God. So Christ's love compels us to go to our neighbors, the ones nearest to you, tell them the good news of Jesus. Can I show you one more scene from the Chosen series, The Holy Night? Just one more. It's a short one.
Tell someone.
No, we must tell everyone.
Yes, we must tell everyone.
Everyone. Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
We waited for this for so long. So long.
His arm. His arm.
His arm.
His arm.
Yes, his arm.
Oh, it's okay. Will you name him?
Jesus.
We will name him Jesus. I must go. People must know. People must know.
People must know.
People must know. People must know about Jesus. They must have had an exciting moment that evening to tell that the Messiah had come. But there was not full understanding of what the Messiah came to do. You see, the Jewish people thought that the Messiah would come to save them from the oppression of the Romans and to set up an earthly kingdom. But Jesus came to do something much greater. He came to live a perfect life, to fulfill God's commands and law. And He would end up giving His life on the cross, taking our sins upon Him, dying in our place, exchanging our filthiness, our sin, for his righteousness. It's called the Great Exchange. That's why he gave his life on the cross. And that is much greater thing than freeing people from Roman oppression at the time. That is freeing us from the curse of sin and death for all of eternity. And his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom that he will come one day to set up. But people must know that Jesus came to give life, and life to the fullest, abundant life. So share this message with your neighbors. Share this message with your family this Christmas time. And remember what it really means that Jesus came into this world as a child, fully God and fully man. Can I ask you to pray with me? Why don't we stand as we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can come before your throne of mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord, that you have shown us the way to you, shown us the way to everlasting life, to abundant life, through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you had and have the love for us, that you came into this world where you felt the things we feel as humans. Yet you did not sin. You did not do anything wrong. And you fulfilled the law of God. And Lord, even though you knew no sin, you were made into our sin, where you carried it to the cross and received our judgment, our punishment in our place. And you shed your precious blood for us. You paid the fine, which is the wages of sin, which is death. You paid that for us so that we can receive life in you. And Lord, we rejoice that the grave is empty, that you have risen, that you have broken the curse of sin and death, showing that everybody who puts their faith in you will also receive eternal life. And Lord, we rejoice in that message this Christmas season. And we thank you that we can come before your throne and say, sorry, forgive us of our sins. We turn from them. We repent of them. And we ask for forgiveness and receive it in Jesus' name. Lord, we make you our God. We make you our King. We crown you on our hearts with many crowns. And Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your love so that we can proclaim to our neighbors the good news that the Savior has come, that there is hope, there is peace, there is joy, and there's an everlasting love in you. Thank you, Lord, and we bless each other. In the name of Jesus, amen.